whole lot of questions coming in this week about Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos, so I thought let us just address all of them here in one setting and have the opportunity to get some clarity on some of the issues that may or may not be different this year on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara writes in Maseches Tainis Taf Chavtes Amid Aleph, B'Tisha B'Av Charev HaBayis Barishona. The first Beis HaMikdash, as we know, was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. And then the Gemara goes through exactly how this happened. On the ninth day, close to the end of the ninth day, they then lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire. And that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yochanan says, Tisha B'Av is really not the appropriate time to have a commemoration for the Churban. After all, they only lit the fire at the end of the day of Tisha B'Av. And it lit and it burned most of the 10th day. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that really we should have had the commemoration for Churban Beis HaMikdash on the 10th day. Be it as it may, we know that every year we have the opportunity to commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, both the first as well as the second. As the Gemara says, this was a yom that was muchan, the peronius. This was a day that was designated to be negative things that we're going to be commemorating that happened on this day. So we mark it by thinking about the beginning of the Churban. Be it as it may, that's the bottom line, that's what we do, even though the Gemara says we should have probably gone and commemorated the 10th, but we all know that we commemorate on the 9th. Now, what happens when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, as it does this year? This is not the first time that we've had it. So what are we supposed to do? So the Gemara Maseches Megillah has a line where we're told if you have Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, you obviously are not allowed to fast on Shabbos, but you have two options. Option A is push it up to Friday. Option B is push it forward to Sunday. So which one should we do? So the Gemara says, Ma'achrin v'lo makdimin. We're familiar with this halacha, that you push Tisha B'Av forward, and you're going to fast on Sunday instead of fasting on Erev Shabbos, on Thursday or Friday. Why is that the case? So the answer is, the Gemara says, Mishum da'akdume paranusa lo makadmi. We don't want to be so eager to bring negativity into our lives. And therefore, as we know, Tisha B'Av is a very negative day. It's a day in which we commemorate something that is so destructive, that is so catastrophic for the Jewish people. So we don't want to bring that into our lives earlier than it has to be. We're going to hold on as long as we can to push off the negativity until the last moment, which is on Sunday. And that is why we push it off. Now, it sounds like a fairly simple halacha. But the truth is, if you look at the Minchas Chinuch, he finds it a little bit hard to justify why it is that we don't observe Tisha B'Av on Shabbos itself. After all, he says, we know that if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, we will observe it on Shabbos. Now, what's the difference between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av? One major difference. The difference is, Tisha B'Av is not De'oraisa, Yom Kippur is. But writes the Minchas Chinuch, well, let's break it down. Why would a person not be allowed to fast on Shabbos? Because there's a din of Onik Shabbos. Where do we learn Onik Shabbos from? We learn it from Midivrei Kabbalah. Yeshaya HaNavi says that we have an obligation to observe Shabbos in a certain way. And what exactly is the nature of the obligation of Tisha B'Av? After all, he writes, the nature of the obligation of Tisha B'Av is referred to as, it's something that's also Midivrei Kabbalah. It's something that is also on the same level as Onik Shabbos. And therefore, he says, why would we choose this over that? After all, he says, why not Sheva Al Tasa Adif? If you have an option to either observe Onik Shabbos and party and observe Shabbos in a celebratory way, whereas that's going to be diminishing Tisha B'Av, or you can observe Tisha B'Av by doing nothing at all, just don't eat, why would I choose to do Onik Shabbos over the Sheva Al Tasa option, the passive option, which is just observing Tisha B'Av the way it is? That's a very strong question. That's a very interesting question, something we need to think about. But be it as it may, that's what the halacha is. The Minchas Chinuch has a very fantastic interpretation to explain why this is not what we do. But this is what he asks, and I think it's a very compelling question. In Siman Tav Kuf Nun Dalet in Shulchan Aruch, there's a discussion as to whether or not, when you have Tisha B'Av Shechal D'Shabbos, as we mentioned, we're going to push off the observance of Tisha B'Av until the 10th day of Av, which is Sunday, Matzah Shabbos Sunday. So when that happens, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah have a dispute whether we have any semblance of Tisha B'Av this Shabbos or not. Shulchan Aruch, quoting other Rishonim, says that this Shabbos, we assume that there's no Dvarim Shebetzina Noheg. There are no prohibitions, no restrictions at all. A husband and wife are allowed to be together on Shabbos. Everything should be as normal. After all, it's Shabbos. And why would we change anything? Tisha B'Av has been completely uprooted from Shabbos this year, and it's been totally relocated to Sunday. And the Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says that no, if a Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we are going to observe it on Sunday. However, there are certain restrictions that will still apply, such as Dvarim Shabbatzina, such as those things which are going to be observed in private. Obviously, we don't want to have Avelus Befarhesia. We're not going to go out into the streets on Shabbos and wear other kinds of shoes. We're not going to show that we're in Avelus, but in the privacy of our own homes, we should try to behave in a way that shows that today is a very different kind of day. Today is not a regular Shabbos as it would be, and therefore the Ramah says that Ashkenazim should be Machmir, and Dvarim Shabbatzina should be Noeg. Obviously, Svardim have no restriction at all, but Ashkenazim are going to be Machmir. But the Ramah adds, and a woman called me about this week, that her Leil Tvila is this Friday night. So the Ramah does say, if a woman is going to the mikvah on Friday night this week, then obviously the husband and wife have a mitzvah to be together. It's not just a regular day, that's something special. And therefore we assume that in such a case, even an Ashkenazi couple would have the opportunity to ignore Tisha B'Av entirely this Shabbos, and they would be together this Shabbos as well. We know that the halacha is that we, right after Maariv, we are going to transition from Shabbos into Tisha B'Av. Now, when does that set in? It's a very important question, and we have to be aware of Hachana issues. A number of people reached out to me this week and asked that before every fast day, they take a Tzom Kal pill. You've seen those pills? Some kind of time-release capsule where it helps you to fast. So scientists in Eretz Yisrael came up with this pill. It's called a Tzom Kal. It makes the Tzom easier. So over time, it's going to release whatever it is that your body needs, and it makes the fast, apparently, it makes it easier. So there is a whole discussion in the first place whether you're allowed to take that before a fast. The point of a fast is that I'm supposed to feel that I'm in a fast. Now I'm taking a pill to circumvent the fast. Okay, I think most assume, I don't know, but I think most assume that it's something that has become acceptable, it's something that is mainstream, many people use it, not a problem at all. But the question is, am I allowed to take that on Shabbos this year? Because I don't have an opportunity to take it any other time. I want to help myself be able to observe Tisha B'Av the way I'm supposed to. I'm a very bad faster, but I'm not able to take it on Friday. If I take it on Friday, then it's not going to have any effect on Sunday. So I have to take it on Shabbos. Now, there's two hurdles you have to overcome. Number one, isn't it Hachana? I'm doing this specifically for Tisha B'Av. There's no other way to explain it. When I'm eating on Shabbos afternoon, and I'm eating in order that I should be full for the fast, you can say, I'm eating also because today is Shabbos, and today I like to eat anyway, regardless of the fact that tonight is Tisha B'Av. But when I'm taking a pill that is a time-release capsule that is going to then go into effect on Shabbos, the only reason why I'm taking it today is simply because of tonight. Isn't that Hachana? Isn't that a problem? That is a very, very good question. Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva on it in his second chelek, in his second volume of the Minchas Asher. I have to be honest, I don't fully understand all the proofs that he brings. I didn't really go through it slowly enough to figure it out. He brings all kinds of different rayas to explain why it's mutter, but he holds that it's mutter. I didn't have a chance to ask anybody else, but I remembered that he writes about it and he thinks it's okay. Yeah.
He starts on Shabbos, so...
I don't know. I don't know exactly. He has other complicated rayas where he explains why it's not hachana, number one, and why number two, even though we're normally not allowed to take medication on Shabbos unless you're a real chola. So here I'm not a chola, so why am I allowed to take it? So he works on that question. Be it as it may, that's what he writes. Very interesting question. So then we come to shul on Matzai Shabbos, and we're going to say Baruch Hu. And right after Baruch Hu, people are going to change into the other clothing, into their sneakers, which are going to be able to be used for the duration of Tisha B'Av. So in a situation like that, the Shulchan Aruch writes that before we get into Megillas Eicha, we're supposed to make a bracha of Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh. First of all, we're supposed to make a Baruch HaMavdil, but Baruch Hu really counts as that, so you don't have to do that. If you're going to be davening at the later Maariv, then you have to say Baruch HaMavdil, change your shoes at home, and then drive to shul. If you don't say Baruch HaMavdil, it's as if it's still Shabbos. Shabbos is still lingering on, and that would be something that certainly I would not be allowed to wear other kinds of shoes to show Avelus on Shabbos, and I'm certainly not allowed to drive to shul because it is still considered to be Shabbos. So we know that we're supposed to say the bracha of Ner. Every Matzah Shabbos, we recite a bracha on Bori Ma'ari Ha'esh and Havdalah. This week we're not going to be reciting Havdalah. We'll see it in a few minutes what we're supposed to do. But certainly we're supposed to say the bracha Bori Ma'ari Ha'esh and Shul right before we get into Megillas Eicha. If a person misses the opportunity to say it in Shul, for example, you're still davening Shemona Esrei, the Tzibur is going ahead without you, we would say in such a situation, you say the bracha, the Ma'ari Ha'esh at home. Say it later on. This is something that is supposed to be recited. And obviously, you don't smell the besamim. This is Tisha B'Av. This is not a time to be smelling besamim and being happy and excited. This is a very, very sad time. Okay, now it's important to note that if you have a chole, if you have somebody who's not well, then, and that person has been instructed by a doctor that they need to eat on Tisha B'Av, obviously that is a legitimate reason to be eating and not fasting. If you have a situation like that, they must make sure to make Havdalah before they eat. After all, after Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat without reciting Havdalah. And the same would apply this week. If you have somebody who needs to eat on Tisha B'Av, they have to make sure that they make Havdalah before they go ahead and they eat. Now, what are they going to make Havdalah on? That's a good question. We know in the 9 days you're not allowed to drink wine. Certainly on Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to drink wine. So what are you supposed to make Havdalah on? That's a very interesting question. Many say you should make it on grape juice or Chamar Medina, make it on tea, make it on coffee, something like that. You have to figure out what exactly Chamar Medina is. It's not so clear what exactly Chamar Medina would constitute. Some say it's beer, some say it's coffee, some say it's soda. And that's why, because Chamar Medina is not so clear exactly what it is and what it's not, that's why some say just use grape juice, and that's what it has to be. Anyway, be it as it may, we have to make sure that we make Havdalah if we need to eat on Tisha B'Av. What should be recited in that Havdalah is a very good question. So if you look in the Pischei Tshuva in Yerodeya, in Hilchos Avelos, so there he quotes from other Achronim that you're not supposed to say the Psukim at the beginning of Havdalah, because those are really Psukim Shel Simcha. Like, who did my Sa'or of a Simcha? We're talking about happy things, we're talking about having an uplifting week, and that is something that we say on a regular Matzei Shabbos going into the week. That's the way we want to usher in the new week. We want to be excited about everything we're about to accomplish. But here, on Tisha B'Av, it would not be appropriate to say the Psukim Shel Simcha, and that is why we leave those out. And all we do is, we say Baruch Priya Gafen, you skip the Besamim, because that's Tisha B'Av, you go straight into Ma'ari Ha'esh, and then you say Hamavdim and Kodesh Lechol, and that will be the Havdalah. Now, in general, forgetting about, in general, there's a major machlokes harishonim. For everyone else who is fasting, forget about the people who have to eat. For everyone else who is fasting, why is it so clear that you're not supposed to recite Havdalah? Who said that? Why don't we recite Havdalah? So this is a major dispute among the Rishonim, four different opinions. What is the appropriate thing? When Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos and then it's pushed to Sunday, so would we make Havdalah on Matzai Shabbos going into Tisha B'Av, or perhaps not? The opinion of the Rush, and this is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well, the opinion of the Rush is that you make Havdalah on Sunday night, which is what we do. After Tisha B'Av is over, we're going to sit down, we're going to make Havdalah. Again, we don't say the Psukim, Hinei Kel Yeshua Si, we don't say Ushafta Mayim Mesasam, we don't talk about all that. We just say the bare minimum Havdalah, which is Baruch Priya Gafen, and then Baruch HaMavdil, because we already did the Ner, we already, and Besamim is out, so we're just going to say Baruch Priya Gafen, HaMavdil, and that will be the Havdalah. That is the opinion of the Rush, and that is the way it is quoted, the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch as well. The Ramban is of the opinion that no, we don't make Havdalah at all. Why do we not make Havdalah? Not on Matzah Shabbos, not on Sunday night. Why? Because if there's a reason on Matzah Shabbos that I don't make Havdalah because it's Tisha B'Av, then it means there's no Tashlumen for that either. It means this year there is no Havdalah after this Shabbos. And that is why the Ramban says that that would be the appropriate thing to do. Other Rishonim say, nope, the better thing to do is make Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos. What do you mean make Havdalah Matzah Shabbos? Who's going to drink the wine? So they say, no, give it to a young child who's not fasting. They'll drink the wine, they'll drink the grape juice. Not a problem at all. What do you mean not a problem? We have a Gemara Maseches Erevin where the Gemara says, really, we make a Shachiyanu on Leil Yom Kippur. We all know we make Shachiyanu Leil Yom Kippur. Why don't we do the same thing Leil Yom Kippur that we do every other Yom Tov in the calendar? What do we do when we make Shachiyanu on the regular Yom Tov? We do it on a cup of wine. Ask the Gemara, why don't you use a cup of wine on Leil Yom Kippur to say Shachiyanu as well? So the answer of the Gemara is, well, who's going to drink the wine? Why would we use a cup of wine if no one's going to drink it? Everyone's fasting. Says the Gemara, why don't you give it to a child? Child is not fasting, why not give it to a child? So the answer the Gemara gives is, Shema Asi Lemisrach. The child is going to come to make a mistake. Why? Because we're going to give him to drink. Then in 5 years from now, he's going to grow up, he's going to be an adult. He's going to have to fast Yom Kippur. He's going to say, no, we don't fast Yom Kippur. I remember that they gave me a drink on Yom Kippur, and I wasn't alone. I was in front of the whole shul. Everybody was watching me. And therefore, he's going to make a mistake. He's going to think, oh, that's what we do. And that's a major mistake. And therefore, we assume that that is something that we don't want to do. We don't want to plant it into his head. And therefore, we do not give the katan to drink. And that is why we don't make Shechiyanu al hakos. We'll ask the Meiri, if that's the case, why would we even think by Tisha B'Av to make a Havdalah al hakos and have a child drink it? Wouldn't that be the same concern, Dilma Asi Lemisrach? Number one, he says, because one is the Rabbanim, one's the Raisa. What is the worst case scenario? On Tisha B'Av, If when he becomes an adult, he makes a mistake and he actually eats or drinks on Tisha B'Av, okay, it's not a good thing. But after all, it's only midrabanan. When it comes to Yom Kippur, that's an Issa D'Oraisa. Number two, along the same lines, eating on Yom Kippur is an Issa Kares. That's something we have to be very careful about. And therefore, the Meiri says, this is not at all the same. It cannot be comparable to Yom Kippur. Even though the Gemara says Yom Kippur, we don't drink a cup of wine for Shechiyanu. There are some Rishonim who say that when it comes to this scenario, we would make Havdalah on Matzai Shabbos. And the final opinion of the Rishonim is that perhaps we should make Havdalah on Shabbos afternoon. Shabbos afternoon? How can you make Havdalah Shabbos afternoon? Shabbos is not over yet. The answer is, if you look in the Rambam and you look in other Svarim, it seems that the Chi of Havdalah is not necessarily after Shabbos is over, it's after Plaga Mincha on Shabbos afternoon. And the Shulchan Aruch says, somebody who knows, let's say you have a doctor who knows he's going to have to run out of the house the minute Shabbos is over, he has to go on his shift, he's not going to be around, he doesn't have an extra minute to go make Havdalah. You have a Tzela member who knows things are going to get busy, it happens every time, he's not going to be able to make Havdalah, he's going to be busy the whole night, so what should he do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, on a regular Shabbos. Nothing to do with Tisha B'Av, nothing to do with Yom Kippur. On a regular Shabbos, he should make Havdalah Shabbos afternoon. So my father tells over the story that my mother's father passed away on a Shabbos afternoon. And obviously we know that Aninus doesn't set in until after Shabbos is over. But what's going to happen? They're all going to become an Onain right after Shabbos. They're not going to be able to make Havdalah. So he said, here they were in the hospital. Nobody knew what to do. My father thought, well, why don't we follow this Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch in another context? Shulchan Aruch says, if you have a doctor who's busy on Matzah Shabbos, he's going to not have the opportunity to make Havdalah. So he makes Havdalah Shabbos afternoon after Plag. So he said, why don't we do the same thing here? Why don't we tell the Avelim who are about to come and Onen that you should make Havdalah Shabbos afternoon? This way, you have the opportunity to at least hear Havdalah before you become an Onen. So he thought that that made sense. He didn't have any Svarim with him at the time. He looked into it later on. It turns out the Achronim do not say that. The Svardisha Poskim say that. That would be something that's a very nice idea to do in order to allow the Avel, in order to allow the Onen to be able to make Havdalah. Anyway, that is with regard to the discussion of Havdalah. For the rest of us who will be fasting, it's not so clear that this is the right thing to do. But the Shulchan Aruch adopts one position, which is that the best thing to do is to make Havdalah on Sunday evening after Tisha B'Av is over. Yeah.
If someone has to make Havdalah, like you said,
yeah.
Can he be motzi this family?
If someone has to make Havdalah anyway, meaning because he's eating, right. Is he able to be motzi his family? The answer is yes. But the question now goes in the opposite direction. Let's say my wife is going to have to eat. I mean, my wife knows how to make Havdalah, but let's say you have somebody in the house who has to make Havdalah, does not know how to read the words, and needs me to make Havdalah for them. Am I able to make Havdalah for someone else when, after all, I'm not supposed to be saying Havdalah? That's a question. What?
They could drink.
They could drink, yeah, but am I allowed to say the words? I'm not a mechuyav bedavar. I'm not obligated to say Havdalah right now. Really, my obligation is tomorrow night. So that's an interesting question. Yeah. Yeah, there is, but we don't say that the aninus in terms of the aninus in terms of
just like an onus put the rule of mitzvahs, maybe that would.
Yeah, but not Shabbos afternoon. Not Shabbos afternoon. Shabbos afternoon, he does everything normal, right? Generally.
Yeah, but this mitzvah is not for Shabbos afternoon.
Okay, but right now it's Shabbos afternoon. So anyway, that's with regard to that. The Shulchan Aruch does say that on Shabbos afternoon this week we should daven mincha early. Even though we normally daven mincha at 7:45, 20 minutes before the Shkia, this week we're supposed to daven mincha early. Why? In order that we should have an opportunity to have enough time to eat when we get home, and we're going to be able to finish the eating by the time the Shkia sets in. If a person's going to daven mincha at 7:45, then they're going to have 5 minutes after they get home to eat everything and to try to finish up, then they're inevitably going to end up eating on Shabbos itself, and that will be a problem. The Shulchan Aruch writes, so what do we do on Shabbos afternoon when we have to eat a Suda HaMafsekes? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara Maseches Tainis, it's also Gemara Maseches Erevin, where the Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows, that if a person is eating Shalashudas, which is really serving as our Suda HaMafsekes this Shabbos, Ochal Baser V'Shose Yayin, it's Shabbos, I'm allowed to eat meat, I'm allowed to drink wine, Umala al Shulchanu Afilu Kesuda Shlomo HaMelech V'Shaito. I'm even allowed to have a festive banquet like Shlomo HaMelech would have thrown in his day when he was the king. The Mishnah Berurah says that if a person normally eats fleishiks in Shalashudas, and this week because of Tisha B'Av they say, you know, I'm going to hold back, I'm not going to have fleishiks, I'm not going to have wine, but normally I would. Now most of us don't ever have fleishiks during Shalashudas. We have bagels, we have rolls, whatever we have much lighter foods. But if you're the kind of person that has fleishiks every week during Shalashudas, and this week you're going to say, you know what, it's Tisha B'Av. Really, it's Tisha B'Av. It doesn't make sense for me to have fleishiks by Shalashudas. Right, the Mishnah Berurah, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because that would be avelis befrahesia. The whole family knows that whenever you eat shalashudas on Shabbos, you're going to have a certain array of food on the table, and this week you're suddenly going to change the menu. Why are you changing the menu? Obviously, it's because Tisha B'Av. That would be something that would be avelis befrahesia. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to eat normally, you're allowed to have company, you're allowed to put out all kinds of things, basar v'yayin, you can eat whatever you want, and that would not be a violation at all. However, the Magen Avraham does add that you should sit there bedavo nefesh. You shouldn't sit there and have a great celebration. You should sit there and be in a somber mood. You should understand today is Tisha B'Av. Tonight is going to be the observance of Tisha B'Av. And you shouldn't have the same kind of very exciting festive atmosphere that you would normally otherwise have at a Shabbos meal. What happens about learning Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av Achar Chatzos? So this is a very important question. On a regular year, forgetting Tisha B'Av falling on Shabbos, Tisha B'Av is on a Tuesday evening going into Wednesday. So we know that on Tuesday afternoon, there's a big discussion about learning Torah after Chatzos. That is a dispute between the Trumas HaDeshen and the Maharshal. Some say that you're not allowed to learn Torah already in the afternoon on Erev Tisha B'Av. Why not? Because I'm already supposed to be in the mindset of Tisha B'Av. That's what some say. Really? I'm supposed to be in the mindset of Tisha B'Av. So, why will Torah take me away from the mindset? So it's not exactly clear why there are those who say you're not allowed to learn Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av in a normal year. Chasam Sofer has a very novel, a very beautiful interpretation where he says as follows. He says, Darko Shel Torah. The way it is when we learn Torah is, and halavai, we would all be this way, but he says, you learn something nice, you're going to be thinking about it tonight. You're going to come home, you're going to tell your spouse, you're going to tell your children, you're going to tell your family members, you know, I just went to a shir, you can't believe what I heard. Listen to this, you're going to be thinking about it. You're not going to be able to get it out of your mind, says the Chasam Sofer. What's going to happen? A person is going to learn on Erev Tisha B'Av, and then it's going to come the night of Tisha B'Av, and all he's going to be thinking is about what he just learned. That's why you're not allowed to learn Erev Tisha B'Av. That's a fascinating comment. That's a fascinating comment. That means the learning that we do at all times should be something that we actually think about when we walk away from the shir, right? Now, I don't know about you, but when I very rarely listen to a shiur, I don't have that much time, I'm not in the car so much, so I don't listen to shiurim that often, and I also don't like listening to myself, so I have to find someone else. I usually listen to my father. So, my father's the exception to the rule because you can't listen to him on double speed, you'll get nothing. He speaks so quickly, he never takes a break, you listen on double speed, you're finished. But if you listen to anybody else on double speed, I'm trying to think about it. When you finish that 45-minute shiur that now you just listened to in 15 and a half minutes, right? So when you have a situation like that, after you're done, how much are you actually thinking about it when you're actually turning off the phone and not listening anymore? Not too much, right? How much do you actually get out of it? Says the Chasam Sofer, automatically, every time we learn, this is the experience we're supposed to have. That when you walk away from the experience of learning from whatever it is that you've studied, you're continuing to ruminate about it. You're thinking about it later on. And therefore, that is why the Trumas HaDeshen said you're not allowed to learn on Erev Tisha B'Av. Not because you have to be in the mood for Tisha B'Av. No, that's okay. The reason why is because later on, you're going to be busy on Tisha B'Av thinking about this. So the Rama quotes us La Halacha. And the Rama says, Nagu shelo lilmod Erev Tisha B'Av mechatzos ve'elech. On a regular year, Tuesday afternoon, you're not supposed to learn on Erev Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah Berurah says, not so fast. If you're going to end up sitting around and doing nothing and talking Lashon Hara and really not learning something else instead, then certainly, says the Mishnah Berurah, you're allowed to learn Torah and this would not be a problem at all. There's a story that's told that one of the maskilim attacked the Beis HaLevi and he said, you know, you're so serious. You're always machmir on everything. And I just can't take it anymore. Why are you always machmir on everything? The Beis HaLevi said, what are you talking about? You know how many kulas I have? He said, well, let me hear. Let me hear a kula of yours. He says, I make all that Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, everyone should be learning. That's a kula of mine. Really, the Rama says you have to be machmir, you're not allowed to learn. He says, but I'll make all, and I say everyone has to learn. And he said a whole bunch of other examples. He said, you know, the Gemara says, you're only allowed to say Kriya Shema at night for Mariv until Chatzos. He says, I'm Mekel and I say, you're allowed to say it the whole night, and if you didn't daven Mariv, you have to continue to daven Mariv until Alos HaShachar. And he gave a whole list of different things that he felt. Another example he gave was, you know, there are those who say that you shouldn't wear tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam because that's left for Chassidim Anshei Maisa. That's for very holy, very special people. I'm not a holy person, I'm a regular guy, and therefore most people in the world, I mean, the Hasidim have a different minhag, but most Ashkenazim do not wear tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. Right? Correct? I think they say Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he got to a certain age, I think when he was 80, so they said, what? 90. So when he got to a certain age, he felt, okay, now I'm at the level of being a Chassid. I would argue, most of us would say Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he was 40, was already a great Chassid. But yet, he said about himself, okay, now I'm 80, I'm 90 years old, whatever it is, now I can start wearing tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. But said the Beis HaLevi, I'm Mekel. I feel everybody can consider themselves a chassid, a Talmud Chacham when it comes to this, and everyone should wear tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. So he said, I have so many kulas. One of them was that he said that one is allowed to learn on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. What happens when Erev Tisha B'Av, when Tisha B'Av actually falls out on Shabbos? So what do you do then? So that is a very interesting question. The Shulchan Aruch talks about it in Siman Taf Kuf Nun Gimel, and there the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, again, the Magen Avraham writes that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, maybe there's room to argue that one should not be learning the whole Shabbos afternoon. So that is, again, something that we need to think about very, very carefully, because after all, if you're going to do that, and the alternative is going to be sitting around and doing nothing and wasting time and not using the time wisely, then certainly that would not be the choice that we would do either. As we mentioned before, there's a machlokas, there's a dispute between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, whether or not we assume that Tisha B'Av that has been uprooted and sent to be observed on Sunday, do we assume that there's any residual left on Shabbos itself, or do we say, no, the entire day of Tisha B'Av has been now been relocated to Sunday? So we mentioned that Afkamina would be about Dvarim Shebetzina. Are our husband and wife allowed to have Tashmish Amita on Shabbos this week, or not? Svardim are Mekel, Ashkenazim are Machmir. And that is what we spoke about before. The Achrona mentioned a number of nafkaminas the halacha that revolve around this question. For example, the Avnei Nezer famously writes, what happens if you have a child who becomes a bar mitzvah this Matzoi Shabbos? Right? His bar mitzvah is Matzoi Shabbos. So would he have to fast Tisha B'Av or not? If you say that Tisha B'Av is really to be observed on Shabbos itself, just we don't have the ability to do that, so we push it to Sunday, then at the time that Tisha B'Av came in, he was not a bar chayuva. He was not part of the obligation. He would not have to fast. On the other hand, if you say that Tisha B'Av is uprooted and relocated to Sunday, and we have nothing that's residual from Shabbos, then there's room to argue that at the time that the obligation of Tisha B'Av came in, which is Matzah Shabbos Sunday, this child was already a gadol, and that would be something that we would obligate him to participate in. The Shulchan Aruch writes that very clearly, a chola she'en bo sakana, Siman Taf Kuf Nun Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch says, if someone is a chola she'en bo sakana, they do not have to fast on Tisha B'Av. That's clear. In Shulchan Aruch we say that. The Achronim then discuss, what if a person is a chola she'en bo sakana, but they're doing fine? They know that at some point over the duration of the next day they're going to have to eat, so the Chassam Sofer and other Achronim have a discussion whether or not they have to wait until they're not feeling well, or would you say that no, right away they're allowed to eat, and there would be no prohibition at all for them to be eating at all over Tisha B'Av, because this is something that was not instituted for them as they are not feeling well. Based on that, the Shulchan Aruch says something that I feel would be very surprising to all of us. The Shulchan Aruch says, Cholo She'en Bo Sakana does not have to fast on Tisha B'Av. However, mu'uberes u'meinekes, a woman who is pregnant or a woman who is nursing, I would have said, finish off the sentence, also shouldn't have to fast. But yet, the Shulchan Aruch says, no, very clearly, mu'uberes u'meinekes, a woman who is pregnant, a woman who is nursing, has an obligation to fast on Tisha B'Av. It's clear. It's very explicit in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, if a woman is not feeling well, or the doctor says that it's actually dangerous, then she's supposed to fast. And many people have heard about this kula. Well, this year, I'm sorry, she's supposed to eat. Yes, thank you. Many people have heard about the kula. Oh, it's a Tisha B'Av Nidcha. Tisha B'Av Nidcha is totally different. Not so clear. Not so clear that Tisha B'Av Nidcha. You look in the Gemara, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, you don't find any mention of Tisha B'Av being different when it's Nidcha than when it's on the regular day. This is something that came later on in history in the days of the Rishonim. The Arzarua quotes it from the Yavits, not the Yavits who lived in the 1800s, 1700s, this is the Yavits in the days of the Rishonim, that the Arzarua and other Achronim quote, that the Yavits was Mekel for a Baal Bris, if there was a Bris that happened on Tisha B'Av, so then he allowed the Baal Bris after Chatzos to be able to eat, when it was a Tisha B'Av Nidcha. Oh, so you see, Tisha B'Av Nidcha is more Kal than any other Tisha B'Av that we would have on a regular year. That's where it all started, but it's not so clear. The Achronim have a major dispute. Most of the Achronim accept that Tisha B'Av Nidcha is more Kal, and therefore Mu'uberes u'meinekes does not have to fast. My father actually accepts personally, he adopts the opinion of the Gra of the Vilna Gaon that says that no, Tisha B'Av Nidcha is the same as any other Tisha B'Av. Again, that's a very minority opinion, but my father feels it is the right opinion, and that's what he goes by. I remember my wife had to pay the price for that, for being my father's daughter-in-law. So she has been pregnant over Tisha B'Av Nidcha before, and my father said, yes, you have to fast. So she did, and still, it didn't put her into labor, and she was healthy, and she was fine. We had a kid, I think, 2 weeks after Tisha B'Av, and everyone was healthy, and everyone's okay. And now we're here to tell the tale. As we know, on Tisha B'Av, there's an Isser, Rechitza. One is not allowed to bathe, one is not allowed to wash. However, the Shulchan Aruch writes clearly, someone who is nislachlech yadav betit, somebody who is playing with their kids and now they got all dirty on the hands or whatever it may be, their hands got dirty for whatever reason, the halacha is you're allowed to wash your hands. Why? Says the Shulchan Aruch, because that is not a rechitzel shel tainuk. The reason I'm washing my hands is not because I'm trying to pleasure myself, it's because my hands are all dirty. So I want to get the dirt off. That would be something that is permissible. And along those lines, we assume, let's say you have somebody who's cooking in the kitchen, and they're going to be cleaning dishes in order to make something else in it, so they know inevitably their hands are going to get wet. That would not be a problem. Why? Because we know the reason why they're washing their hands is not because they're trying to bathe themselves, it's not because they're trying to indulge in their own pleasure, but rather because they want to wash the dishes in order to be able to make another dish for something that needs to be used in this pot. We know that there's an issur of sicha on Tisha B'Av, which is that you're not allowed to smear different ointments on. However, the Achronim, the Poskim, say that what if a person has a petza b'yadav u'baraglav? Let's say a person has chapped lips. Let's say a person has chapped hands. So we would tell them they're allowed to put moisturizing cream on it. That would not be a problem at all, because obviously I'm not doing it to indulge myself, to make myself a beautiful skin. I'm doing it because I have an infection, because I don't want it to get worse. And that would be something that is permissible. And along those lines, the Mishnah Berurah quotes as well in the Bir Halacha, if you have somebody who has a terrible body odor and they're not able to take a shower on Tisha B'Av, so he says they're allowed to spray themselves with shemen, with some kind of perfume or cologne, just to lahavir as azuma. I'm not doing this in order to smell good. I'm not doing this in order to indulge myself. I'm doing it in order that I shouldn't smell negative, and that would be something that would be allowed. It would not be a problem at all. We know that the halacha is you're supposed to recite Nachem. On Tisha B'Av, when you're davening in the afternoon, we recite Nachem. What if a person forgets to say Nachem in Bonei Yerushalayim? So, surprisingly, you do not add it into Shema Koleinu. The Shulchan Aruch says you add it into... What? Not a L'kai Netzor. Person forgets it in Bonei Yerushalayim, you add in Nachem to Ritzei. That's surprising. Why is it in Ritzei? Because Ritzei is all about going back to Eretz Yisrael. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu v'sechazen einenu. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you forget Nachem in Bonei Yerushalayim, you should insert it into Ritzei. If you forget it again at Ritzei, then you should add it into L'kai Netzor before you L'Ratzon. And if you forget it then as well, you don't repeat the Shemona Esrei. However, a person who is not fasting on Tisha B'Av, are they supposed to say Nachem? Yes, they're supposed to say Nachem, because Nachem has nothing to do with the fact that I'm fasting. Nachem has to do with the description of what the day is. On the other hand, Anenu, which is also inserted, in there we say, B'yom Tzom Tani Seni, we talk about the fact that I am in pain because I am fasting. And therefore the halacha is, whereas Anenu, someone who's not fasting, we're not inserted into the Shemona Esrei, when it comes to Nachem, which is a description of the day of Tisha B'Av, then we would insert that into the Shemona Esrei, regardless of whether or not we were fasting. That would be something we would put in either way. And the halacha is that somebody who has to eat on Tisha B'Av also is supposed to say Nachem in the Berchas HaMazon, which is a very unusual halacha. What? Yeah. So, but that's the halacha. That's what it's supposed to be. Many people asked a question, and then I'll close with this. What is the halacha about eating meat on Matzai Tisha B'Av? Normally, we know the halacha is, after Tisha B'Av, you're supposed to wait till Chatzos the next day. But now, we already waited Chatzos the next day, because Tisha B'Av is really being observed on the 10th day of Av. So maybe you should say, the moment Tisha B'Av is over, on Sunday evening this year, you should be allowed to do everything. Everything should be lifted, all the restrictions should be taken away. So, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Tav Kuf Nun Ches, the Ramah tells us there, Imchal Tisha B'Av b'Shabbos v'nidchal yom rishon, as it is this year, mutar l'achal basar v'lishtos yayin b'yom sheni. You should wait until Monday. Give a little bit more time. Ava b'layla, asr m'pnei avelu shoyom. It doesn't make sense. It's inappropriate. The minute after you get up from the floor, the minute after you're finishing all your terrible day of kinos, you're going to go right away to make a big fancy barbecue. It doesn't make any sense. And therefore, we would assume that would be something that is not appropriate to do. And you should wait until Monday. However, the Shari Tshuva and other Achronim say, if you want to do the laundry at night, because you have laundry piling up, that's not something that you have to wait till the next day for. After all, doing the laundry is not such a great simcha. It's not so exciting for us. And therefore, he says, doing the laundry would be something we're allowed to do already at night. However, he says, basar v'yayin is something we should hold off to until the next day. So these are some of the basic halachos that we're going to confront this year on Tisha B'Av. Yihi ratzon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mahapech, should change all of these days.